Did I take her fishing? So we waited on the perfect day. Hitched up my old John boat to see if it would still float. Should have seen the smile on her face. I found a little cold drop of lines to try our luck. Before too long, she said, it's starting to heat up. She took off her shirt, said, I'll get a little sun. Handed me the copper tone. Man, I had me some fun.
Welcome back to Ray Eye Radio, Eye on the Outdoors. KFNS 590 The Fan, Midwest Outdoors Studios, here deep within our bunker. This is Ray Eye. We're back. That was a little Craig Morgan. Fish ain't biting anyway. Country music star Craig Morgan, such a great spokesperson for hunting in the outdoors. Loves that turkey hunting. Here we are in our last segment.
We're going to go right into story time. This is your handsome but humble host bringing you another story time. Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story is about being a professional in the outdoor industry. I'm a very blessed person, I'm very fortunate. My passion has become what I do for a living. A lot of people can't say that. So I am very, very fortunate and blessed to be able to do this. But there's another side of this that the hunting public doesn't see. And it's not like a turkey hunting professional gives seminars, radio, and been in magazines and such as any kind of a rock star. I'm no different than anyone else. But when you work with the public, all of those in our profession can tell you about this. There's a lot of things out there that you don't see. Now, before I get into that, I will tell you, I have met some of the most wonderful people out here in the outdoor industry, both in the hunting side of the industry and in the public, some that have become lifelong friends and family. But there's a few out there that just doesn't have all the marbles in one bag. And that's kind of what I want to talk about, because I don't think a lot of you know this goes on. Traveling, barnstorming, doing seminars was up in Macomb, Illinois. Had about 800 people in the seats in our dealer that handled the product we were selling. Had about 30 feet of booth space set up selling turkey calls and box calls and mouth calls and all kinds of accessories. And those days, we'd do a two-hour program, two-hour seminar. In the early days of seminars across the country when turkey hunting was fairly new. And I'd do an hour, then take a 30-minute break and give everybody a break to get out of the seats and go back and, of course, buy turkey calls and accessories and then go back up. Well, I was back at the table selling turkey calls and visiting with the turkey hunters. A guy went up to the podium up on the stage and started putting his stuff up on the lectern. So I walked up there and said, hey, how you doing? He said, oh, pretty good. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm getting ready to do the second half of the show. I'm going to help Ray out. And I said, oh, okay. Because, see, boys and girls, I've seen this before. So I go back to the table and sit down. It's getting time for the show to start, and lights are going down for the video projection and the slide projector to come up. And the guy from the sporting goods store goes, hey, who's that on the stage? What are you doing sitting here? I said, well, I don't know. He said he's going to do the second half of the show. So who am I to judge? So he went up there to get him, and the guy kind of started arguing with him. So several of the workers went up there, and the guy started blowing his turkey call. And as they grabbed him by the arm and talking to him, get him off the stage, the audience started cheering and clapping. And doing so, this guy thought they were clapping for him. So he was calling more and more. So they're dragging him off the stage, and he leaves the stage doing a kiki run. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But you got to think about that. Here's an individual that wants to be a turkey hunting seminar speaker in the public so bad that he actually, in his mind, goes up and starts setting up on the stage so he can do a seminar. It's like the guys in the seminars that come up and tell me what I did wrong in the seminar and how they would do it different. Lots of times, guys will come up after a seminar and say, you know, that wasn't too bad, but I would have done this and done this, and I would have done it this way. And I get the same thing with radio programming as well. I get emails and letters all the time how they would be doing the outdoor show and how I'm doing it all wrong. And that's fine, you know. I can take constructive criticism, but the letters and emails and when I talk to the hunting public at shows and seminars and conventions, the good folks, sheer numbers of people that come up and tell me they appreciate what I do, far outnumbers these that we're talking about here today in story time. Years ago, working the St. Louis Boat and Sports Show, big crowds back in the day, and this guy came into the booth, inside the booth, and started blowing a turkey call. And I said, can I help you? He goes, no. I said, I'm just here to help Ray out and work the booth a little bit. Started blowing his turkey call and talking to people, showing them turkey calls. So I went and sat down. My great friend and fellow hunt brother, Denny Dennis, comes over and goes, who's that? I said, I don't know. He said he's working the booth for Ray I. So Denny goes over and said, what are you doing in here? And I get out of my booth. So the guy looks at Denny and he goes, okay, I'll work the aisle. So the guy goes outside the booth, stands in the aisle. People are bumping into him. He's blowing his turkey call. And at that time, we had home phones, of course. I had an unlisted number. The phone goes off at 7:30 in the morning. I pick it up, and it's this guy that was in the booth. He called me just to tell me that he couldn't make it to work today because he blew his turkey calls so much his back teeth grew and he couldn't get the call in his mouth. Well, then there's the time that we were at a celebrity hunt in Warsaw, Missouri. My brother Marty was driving the truck, and my cameraman Dale Kuhn was by the door, and we were taking a little tour around to see where we were going to be hunting, and went down through the parks area and just looked at the area. And this truck come racing up behind us and roared up next to us. And he had where the cattle rack goes and the stake holes in the back of the truck. You know, there's three on each side. He had stakes in there, and he had wires running across both ways, lengthwise and crossways. And on there was old crinkled up turkey feet from dead turkeys, turkey feet hanging all over, swinging in the wind, swinging as the truck moved on the back of his truck. And he pulled up, and Marty, he started honking a horn, waving Marty down. Marty stopped, and I kind of crunched down in the seat. Marty leaned over and goes, "Yeah, what's up?" And the guy goes, "You seen Ray I?" And Marty says, my brother says, "Oh, he's around." And I'm going, "Let's go, Marty, let's go." The guy says, "Well, I just want to tell him with this hunt for the guys that's coming in that do this for a living, the local guys have got corn out, and they're going to try to beat them and say they're better than they are. They're going to show them." And Marty goes, "Oh, okay, okay. Well, I'll let him know when I see him." And I go, "Let's go, let's go." My cameraman's kind of blocking his view from me, and he goes, "And the other thing is I just wanted to be a guide." And then the guy starts crying. "I just wanted to be a guide, and they wouldn't let me be a guide. And I can guide, and I need to talk to Ray I." I go, "Let's go, Marty, let's go, Marty." He goes, "Let's go, Marty." Marty starts trucking. He goes, "Well, we need to get going. Sorry about that." And the guy's crying worse, and he's kind of pulling his truck up next to our truck. And the guy goes, "I can guide. I got ground." Brother Marty turns the truck off, looks out the window, and says, "How much ground you got?" One of the all-time classics was in Illinois one year with Phil Borjale, Peter Matthiessen, myself, and several other cameramen and outdoor writers. Went to a hunt, and the owner of the outfitting business was, him and his wife were wonderful folks. But when we went over to the old farmhouse, which was a lodge, this guy answered the door in an Elvis Presley robe with elf shoes and a Civil War hat on, and told us we had to leave everything in the truck, and opened the refrigerator, and he had a bottle of Coke and a pound of bologna. He said this was his, leave it alone, nothing else in the refrigerator. But this was one of those guys that took us out and showed us around, and I could see that that was going to come to the point where he's going to say, "We need to go here because this is where he hunts." He says he had this place we needed to go to get a show, and I said, "Okay." So my cameraman is with me, and we're going in, and the guy shows up. He's in a Civil War uniform with an old Civil War hat with insignia and stuff on it. He's got a bedroll on and a walking stick. We start going into this place, and we're running a little late because when we got to the gate, he was looking back at the house, went to the gate, and a dog came down and grabbed him by the leg and had him by the leg and was shaking his leg, and he was trying to kick the dog off. So we start marching in, and it starts getting daylight, and this turkey starts gobbling. And my cameraman says, "Hey, what about that bird?" And the guy says, "No, come on." I said, "Leave him alone. He's got a place he wants us to go. He's going to take us to a spot where he's been hunting to see if we can kill that turkey." What my cameraman didn't realize, this has happened hundreds of times. And I said, "What this guy is doing, he's taking us someplace where he can't call a turkey to see if I can call it. So let's just play the game long enough to get things done until we can get set up to do a show." So we're marching along, and we hear other turkeys gobbling, and he keeps walking. So we cross his fence. It says, "Keep out." I said, "Are we supposed to go in here?" He goes, "Oh, we're okay." There's a building there, a shed with the warning, "Keep out," signs all over it. We walk around that and go across an old bean field. We get to this deep ditch, ravine, full of brambles and brush, and this guy just bails off in there. And I look at my cameraman, and I go, "Let's just walk around the edge of this thing," because you could see it was just a ditch that came up out of the holler and came up into the field, and you could just walk around to the other side. So we walk around the other side to cut bean field, and it's still dark, but just starting to break a little false dawn. Get to the other side, and he's down there in the brush, and he comes up through the other side carrying a tow sack, and he gets up there, and my cameraman goes, "Who are you? Davy Crockett?" And you can see the guy, he starts quivering, his head starts shaking, his eyes. And I go, don't talk to him. I got this. I said, "Where do you want us to set? Right here?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Okay. Looks like you've been sitting here. You've been hunting here?" "Yeah." "Is there a turkey here that won't come in?" He goes, "Yeah." "You want to see if I can call it turkey?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Great. Yeah, we can do that. Here, I'll sit down here." I have to get my camera. I said, "You sit over here and you get your camera set up and you just be quiet." So I get him over there, and the guy's sitting with a tow sack. So he opens up the tow sack, and he goes, "Here, put these on." He starts taking hard hats out of the tow sack. Cameraman goes, "What the?" I said, "Put the hard hat on. Put it on now." So I put on this hard hat. He puts on a hard hat, and our turkey guide puts on a hard hat, and we're sitting there. It starts getting light, and I can see out in the field. Just enough light to see out there, and I can see these big rocks and stuff out there. And I'm looking around. I'm like, "What is going on here?" So I sit there a minute, and finally I go, "So, do you mind asking, what are the hard hats for?" He goes, "What are you, stupid? Do you see the size of those rocks out there? There's a quarry right here, and they start dynamiting it at 7:30.
And that's story time this week with your Uncle Ray.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate you coming in this weekend with us at our campfire. Say bye, Vogelbacher.
Bye, Vogelbacher.
Say goodbye, Matty G. Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us for Eyes on the Outdoors National Radio Show. Share the outdoors with others and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
To be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love you.